Man, we wrapped up Jonah, and then we wrapped it up 2023, and so we're actually going to start a new series, but not quite yet. If you want to come tonight, I am going to share a little bit more about that and why and where we're headed and what the point behind it all is. So I'll tell you what I want to do. You know, our church, you know, we have a set of values, things that we value as a church. And it could be different than even what other churches value. We try to get our values right from the New Testament. And so I do want to take some time. I want to talk about these things. We'll hear some of that again tonight. But over the next couple of weeks here in church, and actually today's message was going to be by Bob Berry. You know, he Bob's been a faithful man of God for years, and he's a deacon here at this church. And besides just being a great friend, he's been a great amount of accountability for me. And he asked me a month ago if he could preach. He said, "Mike, I'd like to preach at the beginning of the new year." And I said, "Done. You know, done. I don't even know what he's going to preach." I said, "Dude, if God's laid something on your heart, you've earned that right." And he ended up getting sick this week. So he's actually feeling better today, but they told him to quarantine until Monday. So I'm going to preach the message that I thought Bob was going to preach. So we'll see. He can tell us. I'm sure he's listening right now. So, hey, Barry's. So, and I had somebody tell me, said, "Hey, thanks for the visual of you in the shower." I'm like, "Man, I did not mean that. I really didn't mean that." But you want another visual? Bob's in his underwear right now hearing the Word of God, sitting in on his couch, you know. So, anyways. Hey, guys, something I just want to throw out today, and I want to preach. I'm going to preach out of Acts chapter 3 and 4. So if you want to head that way, Acts chapter 3 and 4. But you know what I want to do as a pastor? Let me tell you what I'm tempted to do. I'm very tempted all the time to, because I want to grow the church, you know. And we've seen, through the years, we've seen massive growth in and out. We definitely spiritual growth is number one, but even numerically, you know, you want people. And so, and I had a pastor tell me this, and we were talking and you're looking at things, and there's different methods and ways to do church. We try to model kind of what the Bible says. You know, a big part of our church, what we do is we equip saints. Our goal is to have Christians fill their toolbox. You know, that's what really this morning is really all about. And then we go out into the world. And we go out, and that's where we minister. That's where, you know, we do our work. So Sunday morning's really about the believer, even though if there's lost people or people that don't know Christ, we want people to get saved, man. That's a big part of what we do, too. You know, this older pastor told me, he said, "You know, the greatest way to grow a church, don't you?" And I was thinking of methodology. I says, "I don't." And he goes, "Just compromise, Mike. Give people what they want. You're building, you won't have an empty seat." I was like, my gosh, there's a lot of truth to that. We could grow something quick. You know, you can grow a squash in 30 days in the right environment, right place. We're not growing squashes here. It takes years to produce an oak tree with deep roots, something that can produce fruit and outlast all the storms of life and many generations. It's beautiful when you go to a family place and they can look at not just their children, but we did that at our, I remember, old house. It was Mother's Day and we planted a tree. And before you know it, the power company's come. This little tree we planted, before you know it, years later, the power company comes by and they have to trim the tree because it's into the power lines, man. This thing has grown, you know, and it's nice. And then you can look, maybe there's grandchildren, you can look and just say, "And that tree was planted when I was just little. And now here we are several generations." And I want you to know, as a church, we definitely are after fruit, and we want fruit that remains. This is not an easy task. Walking with Jesus, growing a church, is not easy. And if it was easy, everybody would do it, you know. Living the Christian life. But let me tell you something. If I could theme this message or give it a title, I'm not one of those preachers that give a title to the message, give you 3 points in a poem, and then we'll go home. I don't do that normally. But I got a title for this one today. And here it is. You ready? A Call to More. I'm going to call the church to more today. In 2024, I'm going to call the church to more. And I realize doing that, it might mean that we have to decrease to get to the more. That's a price we'll have to pay. It's a price we all pay, isn't it? Well, we are called to give more. I was very moved this week. I listen to leadership podcasts and watch things, read books all the time on leadership. And there's this one big one that's like, I forget how many millions of followers follow this, and I'm one of them. I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden they said, we decided that we needed to bring somebody like a Gen Z in, somebody that's younger. Because, by the way, ever since COVID, I want you to know, my generation, it's been more of like boomers, people that are a little bit older, 30% of them have not returned back to church. You look at Gen Z and millennials, there's a little bit of a resurgence. Like they're actually wanting something that matters and something that counts. I thought, boy, isn't that interesting, you know? So in this podcast, they got these pastors on there and they're like, what we want to do is we want to bring, can you bring one of your church leaders, one of your, maybe one of your young ladies or young men? And so they brought this young girl in. When I say young girl, she just turned 20 and just got married, but young, you know, that age that, you know. And you know what the crazy thing about it was? They had their iPads set up, cameras. They had, everybody, both sides of this thing, as they're interviewing people, they're in different places. And I noticed this girl, when she came in, I would just think she'd come in with a phone or her tab. Like, I read my Bible sometimes on my phone too, but especially just her generation, she walked in with this book. She sat down in her chair and her pastor said, before this thing like gets rolling, I just want everybody to know something. She never goes anywhere without that book. She keeps referencing to the Bible. And all through these pastors are talking about methods and things. And every once in a while, this young girl would say, well, it's clear in Scripture. I mean, Paul said that. He said, I was so impressed. But God used that this week to spark in my heart and to encourage me, just like, I'm going to call us to more. God has asked us. He's given us a mission. He's given us a relationship with Him. And we need to be after that. It's not easy. It's not always cool. And we laugh a little bit and giggle. Bo says, hey, prayer this week, it's not sexy. It's hard. That's what it is. It's work. I would have to put it under the category of a discipline that I struggle with. It's difficult. Very, very hard. There was at one point, they did a whole section on this talk. And they did seven things. One of the sections was, okay, let's talk about church online versus in attendance. Everything's going online now, so churches need to do that. And the guy heading this thing up, who is the leadership guru, who used to be a pastor of two, I would call them mega churches, massive amounts of people. He's the one leading this thing. And he's talking and talking about, well, we need to do this. Generation doesn't have this and this and that. We should do this and do that. And everybody, if you don't have an online presence, you're going to lose. And those churches are going to die in the years to come. And there was one young girl sitting there with a Bible. And she said, all that's good. And, you can use technology and all that. She goes, I'm not against any of it. She says, but we're called to make disciples. She says, I'm where I'm at right now because in our church, there was particularly two ladies that spend time with me. They taught me how to walk with the Lord. She says, then I was getting ready to get married as a young woman, and they taught me how to be a wife. And she was using words like how I can submit to this man. I'm like, whoa, that's like an offensive word today. What? And now, and she says, I'm currently pregnant. I'm having my first child. And this one lady's meeting with me and she's talking to me about how being a godly mom and how you can train your children like the Bible says. Guys, she was like the coolest, youngest, so unfashionable. And yet she was the Gen Z, the one that everybody think that would have all this. Who are we fooling? I'm going to give you a call to more today. If you're in Acts chapter 3, there's a story in Acts chapter 3, and if you're doing our church reading, really want to encourage you to do our church reading. Hey, read the Word every day, But I really want to encourage you, if you do it together, that way when we're at different places, you come to church prayer, a lot of it's going to be themed. We're going to talk about what we've read. So I would just encourage, and it's two chapters a day currently. And right now we're covering the Pauline epistles, and we'll hit the New Testament, the book of Acts. We're actually, I say Pauline epistles, it's actually going to the end of the New Testament. So we could call it just maybe just the epistles in general and the book of Acts. So I just hope you'd be a part of that with us. We started it last Monday. So you say you're incredibly behind, but right today you'd be 12 chapters behind. That's not a lot to read if you want to catch up. And if you're not a great reader, here's what you do. Then you skip this week and you start Monday. It's that easy. Seriously. The whole point is to allow God to speak to you so you can see it, so that you can get it, you know. In Acts chapter 3, it starts off in verse 1 and it just says this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, religious people going into the temple, they would have a heart for people that maybe were handicapped or injured. And so he's laying there and he's asking alms. He needs money. This guy can't work, you know. He's disabled. It says in verse 3, he seen Peter and John, he asked them for alms. In verse 4, and Peter, watch this, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Big key is verse 9. Watch this. All the people saw him walking and praise God, because all the people seen him crippled. All the people seen him. Probably if they went consistently to the temple, they know who this guy was. And all of a sudden that he walks in. It says in verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I like that part too. I just picture myself like being a Peter or John. This dude's never walked. He has healing in his life. Man, he just held on to these guys. Man, I love that. That's very moving to me. Notice the guy was wanting money. But the truth of the matter is, we know what he needed. Man, he needed a new life, man. This guy cannot walk. You know, he needed a real purpose. I don't know if you ever remember, like, the disciples are making money and they're fishing, fixing their nets. And Jesus comes by and says, "Hey guys, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you something to live for that's greater than yourselves. I'll give you a purpose where you can influence people," which is a hot topic today. Everybody wants to influence people, right? He gave them a real purpose. The Bible says they left their nets, they left their families, and they followed Jesus. This guy here is looking for a coin, and he ends up getting a conversion. Sometimes what people want is not what they need, right? And we can see it clearly here. And gang, listen to me. This is Peter and John, the disciples, right? We're disciples, right? We know Jesus Christ. We must live to make other people walk. We must live. We're not just out for a convert. Yeah, I'm glad we had a visitor in church. Oh, I'm glad dude got saved, man. We want people saved. But Jesus says that we're supposed to go and make disciples. See, when somebody gets saved, they meet Jesus Christ, they become a baby. It's our job to train, to invest in them the Word of God, eventually so they can walk on their own. Eventually so they can eat on their, eventually so that they can reproduce. That's the point. And so I just want you, if you're taking notes, you might want to write that down. First thing I'd write down is we must live to make other people walk. Now you look out and we know, I'm speaking, you know, more spiritually, because a lot of people are walking out there. You know, there's a handful of people. There's a very high stat of people that are disabled and struggle walking, you know, just in the United States, for sure. I mean, it's a big problem. But ours is spiritually. People don't know how to do life. People don't know how to. I like this young girl in this video this week. She's like, yeah, I just needed to know how to be a good wife. Because maybe it wasn't modeled for her. I need to know how to raise my children. Yeah, those things are important. See, that's life. I just need somebody to show me how to walk. It's amazing to me, people, that simple things, you know, that the church can get involved with. But, you know, even money issues, all of us, whatever your issues are, sometimes people need help. Sometimes the church ends up being like a fitness, you know, we're almost like a fitness club and we offer personal training. So people come in the door, just imagine us being that. People come in the door, maybe there's some chubby dude that comes in the back door. And we sit down and we're just like, well, here's the deal. I just want to show you around. Here's the gym. Here's the equipment over here. And there's this part. This part, weights are over here. And so let me just teach you a few things about fitness today. You just share a few pieces of information and knowledge. And all of a sudden the dude leaves and just say, hey, we'll see you in a couple days. Let's say 3 times a week come here. Perfect. The guy comes in and day two, the guy comes in. He's like, man, I'm glad you're back. You know, how's it going this week? And, you know, maybe talks to him about eating habits and that type of thing and just say, hey, I've showed you everything here. But now this guy over here, he's a trainer over here. But this guy, now she focuses on yoga. And let me tell you. So the guy gets a whole nother, you know, boatload of information. You know, the problem is the guy keeps coming and keeps coming and keep coming. And he's like 3 months in. And he hasn't lost a pound. He says, my gosh, I know a lot of information. But I'm still chubby. What's going on here? Well, the instructor's smart, knows a lot of information, but he needs to get the dude on the treadmill. Right? Instead of just giving information, I find myself as a pastor sometimes saying, do this, do that, boast it. We teach the Bible. We got all this great information. And yet, let me tell you where the rubber meets the road. You've got to do what it says. You've got to follow through. There's a call to more. Get after it. Most of you know the information. Do you realize most of you, if you've been at this church for even a couple years, you know more about the Bible than most people ever will, which means this. You know and have the knowledge of what it takes to be healthy in your homes and even to give other people what it just, I'm talking about in this life, some even the skills that they're so lacking. You know God's Word. Where's the disconnect at? You know, the disconnect is this. It's not getting done. I'm not doing it. And I got a piece of information to share tonight. I've been tracking a few, and it's a huge piece of information, but I did some tracking, and you ain't going to believe when I tell you tonight what I've discovered. And so I'm going to call us to more as a church. We want more than just converts, right? Now, the beautiful part here is in Acts chapter 3, I love that this guy is now walking. Super cool. It's a miracle, right? You know, all this is miraculous and going on. But if you keep reading down here, in verse 12, when Peter saw it, he saw what? What did Peter see? Well, it says in the last two verses, all the people are filled with wonder. Like they're wondering, like, what in God's name? Is that Frank? What, Frankie? He just walked. Everybody's free. So check this out. Peter sees this as an opportunity in verse 12. Peter saw it and he answered the people and says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? Then he begins to unfold a little bit of knowledge about the Old Testament. And before you know it, it says in verse 19, he points to Jesus Christ. He ends with Christ in verse 18. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he'll send Jesus. Jesus came the first time. He's coming again, which was before preached unto you. So what Peter sees is an opportunity to preach Christ. the awesome thing here is like the miracle is like, dude's walking. Ain't that crazy? That is crazy because you don't see very things very like that. But Peter's just like, that becomes the platform to give the real miracle. The miracle is new birth. The miracle is Jesus. That's why if the miracle was, you know, Peter could just say, man, why are you guys wondering? Everybody come up. What's your ailment? You know, we can heal. I'm glad you're here at the healing service now. You come up. Oh, yeah, you got this. You got a little cough. Oh, one leg shorter than the other. Yeah, we can make that happen. We can make that thing longer. You know, but that wasn't the issue at all. There was a deeper issue. So I just want you to see this. Miracles are awesome. But miracles bring people to where they just marvel. This is where we come in. The marveling then becomes the opportunity for the real message. For the real message. And I can see, think of many times of failure here, just for me, where there was something crazy going on the planet. And, you know, you guys remember when COVID hit and everybody's locked up in their homes. So we're scrambling like, how do we do church online? You know, we need to do this because the world's freaking out. And all of a sudden, a very fearful world looked at the church and said, who are they? But a bunch of fearful people like we are. We just entered into fear mode. And guys, I'll admit, I didn't know what was going on. I don't know what that crap, I didn't know anything. You know, Corona, I heard Corona, I'm like, yeah. Oh no, it's not that. What's going on here? This is crazy. And all of a sudden, now what the world needed was, because everybody was in wonder. They were like in a marvel state of mind, like, what's going on? And what they needed is, not the church to provide answers for COVID or for, you ain't going to find them answers for me. That should have been an opportunity for a real message to be proclaimed. Because what a fearful world needed was a fearless church. And we took the chicken route, man. We tried not to. We talked in and out. It was the weirdest thing ever. I look at that. I will do it different on the next pandemic. Because it's probably going to come. I'm going to do it different the next time around. Miracles cause marveling. But remember, guys, the marveling that took place here, Peter jumped on it. It's time for the message. Guys, a fearless church, we do nothing but proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize when Jesus resurrected, you know what it says in Acts chapter 1? Go back to Acts 1 and verse 8. He tells the church clearly. He says, when I go up into heaven, in verse 7, verse 8, but ye shall receive what? Power. You're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in where? Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. There's a message that needs spread to the world. He said, so first of all, you're not going to be able to do it on your own strength. So I'm going to give you power when the Holy Ghost comes. And now this is a little bit weird. The book of Acts is a strange book. I'm not saying, so once the Holy Ghost came, it was here. You don't find it, but he drops it down in Acts chapter 2 and a lot of crazy weird things happen. But the bottom line is Acts chapter 1, he said, let me tell you guys, I need you guys to proclaim to be a witness. But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put inside of you dynamite. Because what you need to do is when the world stands in marvel, you need to blow it up by a message. Blow it up. That's what dynamite does. All through history, the church was always supposed to cause a ruckus. Today, if all those leadership podcasts I listen to and stuff, you wouldn't believe all these. And by the way, I discovered something this week. They're not the majority. They think just because they have a big church. Did you realize the fundamental churches in the United States of America, most of them are under 100 people? We're not alone here this morning. There's a lot of great churches everywhere. That's not like they're not pushing it. But you know what we do? We like to watch online. We like to read the books of guys that says, yeah, man, we went from 2,000 people, man, up to 10,000, like within a year. We were scrambling, man. Then he writes a book on how to do church, and all small churches want to read it so they can find some formula and plug it in, and all of a sudden we're going to have a massive church. Like, is that the goal? Is that the goal of the New Testament? I would think if that was the goal, Jesus Christ would have come down and said, okay, first of all, I'm looking for 2,000 disciples. He's God. If anybody could pull that off, it'd been him. Instead, he comes down and he says, cream rises to the top. He starts putting a message out there. The kingdom of God is being proclaimed. And when the cream rose, he says, I'll take 12. That's it, Jesus? Now, 12 would be a lot for me to invest in. But Jesus, the creator of the world? Nope. The point was to make disciples. Because he was building this thing up, and they were going to get equipped, and it was going to start on the inside and work its way outside. And then he was going to then, when he resurrected, say, now, this dynamic power, the Holy Ghost, I'm going to put inside of you, and you are going to take this message to the world. Wow. But you notice how it started off. It started off with just Jesus and 12, right? My message is not in Acts chapter 3, by the way. My message is Acts chapter 4. If you want to go over to the next one. Because let me tell you what happened here. If you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Which, by the way, this group of religious people, Sadducees, they always denied the resurrection. So they're flipped out about this. And let me tell you what they're flipped out about. Not just a dude that can walk. That became the platform to Peter stand up and people to be saved. People were hearing a message that they needed Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you want to, you, back in Acts chapter 3, like, I mean, all the people perceive this guy, because this guy that got healed, it says that they see him walking in, and it says he was, look at verses 8 and 9. It says, and he leaping up stood and walked, entering with them in the temple, walking, but watch what he was doing, and leaping, but praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He's giving God glory, praising God. And then Peter stands up and just said, there is a resurrected Savior that died for the sins of the world. You know, Peter's like preaching, like basically a gospel message. And so, man, everybody's stirred up, and all the people witness this. So what happens in Acts chapter 4 is, these Sadducees said, something's weird here. I don't like what they're preaching. People are paying attention. Like, there's obviously been a miracle, verse 3, and they laid their hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So, hey, we need to grab these guys. So that's exactly what they did. Notice what it says, they put them in hold. By the way, you ready for this one? It's the enemy's job. If he can just put us in hold, a holding pattern. He don't need you to cheat on your spouse. He don't need you to do heroin. He just needs you to do nothing. Read your Bible every day. Do the church reading. Hey, please come to church. Give your money. All that stuff. Yeah, that's important. But if he can keep you from dropping the message, he's the winner. That was the point here. The enemy's behind this and puts them in hold. Isn't that crazy? Which tells me this. By the way, I think we can see from this story, the message that we have causes trouble. It causes trouble. The church today says, oh my gosh, this is causing trouble. We better not do anything. One of the largest churches in the United States, which is down in Georgia, Andy Stanley. Did you know during COVID what he did? They stopped doing in-person meetings because, you know, the government said no. Well, after the government even started loosening it up, you know what he said? We want to be a good testimony to our community. We're still not going to meet. We're going to let them know that we're going to do everything for people's health. Here's the negative to that. I'm not saying his motive wasn't that. And please, I keep bringing up COVID. COVID's nowhere in my notes here. I want you to know that half my illustrations come on one up here. I'd like to think they're inspired, you know, that God just gives them to me, you know. But I'm not a COVID freak and not, you know, all that. I keep bringing it up, but, you know. And it's still out there, by the way. People just ain't as afraid of it anymore. Because it's bit. And a lot of people are like, oh, what in God's name now? What do we do? Got to live life, don't you? You know, isn't that crazy? So anyways, this Andy Stanley for several years does not do in-church meetings because he wants to keep people. Here's the problem with this. The problem was it put a church on hold. There was a message to be broadcast. They're like, well, we'll broadcast it online. And they do a great job because they got tons of money, and they were able to do that. But it was not a good thing. I mean, the message that really brings healing to the heart You know, and Jesus, to deliver that message, you know how he did it. He came to the planet. He identified with us as human beings. That's how it works. And I'm, hey, it's being spread online through the airwaves, all that. Oh, praise the Lord. I love all that. But notice what it says here in Acts 4, then verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. There was a ton of people that heard this message. It was spreading like wildfire. And they're like, let's put these guys in hold. Shut this thing down. They're freaking out about this thing. You know, it's spreading. And it's funny because I just want you to know that like we do that with things that like, oh man, we need to stop this. It's spreading. Everybody in your homes, quarantine. Well, think of that. That's a negative. Think of a positive. The message of the gospel that changes people's lives, that'll give every woman, boy, girl, every child, every grown man can hear this message, and it'll give him everything that he knows in his heart what he needs. It'll give him eternal life. It'll fill him with hope. That's what it'll do. It's salvation becomes a fear killer, right? Because the two greatest fears in the world are number one is what? Death. Everybody fears dying. What's the second greatest fear on the planet? Public speaking and both of those things. You meet Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal life. Don't fear death anymore. That's when life really is going to begin for you, dude. So, oh, he took my death? And then he says, and now I want you to be a witness. Don't sweat it, dude. I'm going to fill your tank so you can do that. I know that's hard and you don't want to be, really? It's going to go against a culture and you want me to really program. Yeah, those two things are hot. They're the hot buttons and God has got them taken care of for you, right? You're going to lose all that. So the bottom line is, as many people heard, many people believed, they're trying to put it on hold. And they say in verse 7, what do they say? When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Like they're asking, like, what has happened here? You know, this is wild. And what's going on? Something strange. And I want to make a little side point right here that, you know, like, why are they inquiring? Like, what in God's name is going, what in the world? They're wanting to inquire, what's happening here? This wasn't just one man walking. This was, that guy became the platform that people were starting to believe the message of a resurrected Savior. And all of a sudden, it's kind of getting tense. People's lives are being changed. And remember, these guys are religious leaders in their temple. I mean, Jesus is the religion killer, man. He wants a relationship with people. He's killing it, man. And people, that's why they put these guys on hold. They're like, something's going awry here. And so they pull these guys in. And so, you know, last night we went to the rescue mission in Galesburg. And, you know, a lot of times it's easy to spot, you know, people that have trouble in their life. But like a drug addict, it's easy to kind of spot a drug addict. Not all drug addicts, but some. And there was one in particular in there last night. So easy to spot. And he was picking still. And he just was, you know, coming off of it. You could tell even by his, not just his looks, but his behavior. You could see it. And it's interesting here. They knew the right people to grab. And I'm telling you why. It's because of not just their looks, but their behavior, what they were doing. They knew the guilty ones. You know, the Bible says you'll know people by their fruits. And that's exactly, they knew who to spot here. And they spotted these guys. They're holding them and they're like, we need to figure out by what power have you done this? You know? And then look what it says in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Notice it says Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled. Everything that God has to offer, why would God give us something, especially like the Holy Ghost, and want you to just, I'm just going to give you a little bit of it. It's not like it's a little kid. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, a guy got a hold of a bunch of fireworks and gave me all these M80s. I was tying them together, lighting them, just wanting to blow up the neighborhood, you know. It was, and my dad, man, it was too much for me. And I didn't know it though. I was just ignorant, you know. But this is something different here. Why would God give you His Holy Ghost? And tell you he's going to fill you and says, and I'll give you with power. And when you get that power, you are going to be a witness. So Peter, things are going on here. Lives are being changed. Thousands of people now are talking and getting saved. Peter stands up and the Bible says he was, yeah, the guy filled with the Holy Ghost. He was going to spill it out, man, because he had something to say. And I like this. By the way, the number one characteristic of somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost is they speak. They speak. It's all through the Bible. I can totally prove this using Scripture. Because people always say that, like, I've seen, like, somebody get up on stage and just start, music's when they start dancing. They're dancing and people are just, man, that dude's really filled with the Holy Ghost. No, he's filled with the jitterbug, man. That's all. He's dancing. Don't blame that on the Holy Ghost. Because if he wasn't a dancer, he probably wouldn't be doing that. You know? They say, oh, people are filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's how you know that. Here's what they do. There's a few examples in Scripture that are totally not the rule, but people take them and just say, this is what... No, consistently through the Bible, people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what they do? Out comes, then, the message of the Holy Ghost. The gospel. Got Jesus in, guess what? He's going to go out. You're filled, and it's going to leak out on everybody, and that's what we see here. Peter's filled, and he begins... You know what he begins to tell them? I mean, notice it says in verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole. I mean, Peter's saying, we're on hold and you guys are examining us. Question for you. What are people finding in you? Nobody wants to make waves. Nobody wants to cause a ruckus. And yet these guys, they're examining their lives and inspecting them hardcore, like what's going on here. And let me tell you why. Because there was a streak of changed lives behind them. There's a question a guy proposed one time, and I don't know who originally said this. I heard it several different places and several sources. And he says, man, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So I'd like to propose that same question this morning. If you were put on hold and examined, would there be enough evidence that convict you that, man, you are filled with God's Spirit and you are not only know the Lord and you're a Christian, but you're spreading that message, man? And some of you would say, boy, I don't know. There's your answer. Because you should be in the hot seat now. And that shouldn't have to be taught. Because the Bible says, when I fill you and you'll give power, you shall be witnesses. It's a byproduct. The message becomes a byproduct, right? Hey, I got a question for you. You're going to answer it. Not out loud, but in groups. You ready for this one? So far in this story, we've been working this thing. They said, hey, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Like this dude stands up and walks. You get down in this Acts chapter 14 and we're reading and Peter's speaking, man, right? And look what it says in verse 14. They're speaking and giving the business, this powerful message in verse, and beholding the man which was healed was standing with them. Ain't that crazy? He's on hold, but as Peter begins speaking, guess what? The guy who was holding their legs and thankful for the healing he got, he was standing there, like looking. What an illustration, right, Peter had? What a message. And people are like, they're freaked out about this. Because guess what? You can't deny the cripples walking now, right? There's evidence that this gospel has changed, and it's just definitely changed the way this dude has walked. So here, I got a question I want to propose to you. How has your walk changed? If you've met Jesus Christ, your walk should be different. Maybe I should, and some of you might be new at this, so what has been done inside of you? Like, think of who you were before you met Christ. Now that you met Christ, how are you? You have to have an answer for that, or maybe you don't know Christ. You ready for this one? Let's just circle up amongst yourselves here a little bit. I'll give this one to Tyler and this little group right here. Dan, you want to back there? You guys got a little group back there. And you're a small group back there. Do you want to just stay a small group? Yeah, okay. Cox, take it here. Terry Hodges, just right in here. Over in here. Mike, you want Jake? You're in charge on this one. All I want to do is this. Not everybody's going to get a chance to speak. You are not forced to speak here. I would never do that to you and embarrass you in public. But what you're going to do is look amongst each other. Get out of your seats. Act like you're coming to get another cup of coffee if you want. And just say, here's what's been done in me. This is how my life has changed. You're just simply answering that question. Is your life different? Because we're seeing this in this story. The lame was walking. And there's you might say, I was a liar. Now I'm a man of the truth. It could be whatever. What is it with you? Maybe an addiction you had, and man, that has changed. I want you to discuss it amongst yourselves, but you only got 60 seconds. Go. How has your life changed? What has been done in you? Everybody stand up to your feet if you want to. Face each other. Listen, not everybody has to talk. Don't force people to talk that don't want to talk. You guys might have to squeeze in that group there, or you can walk over here if you want. Give your answer quick if you got one. We've just hit 60 seconds, so if you could pause, stay right where you're at. You've been answering a question, what has been done in you? But we've seen in Acts 4, that now all of a sudden, they're asking Peter, and they're just like, by what name or power have you done this? See, now that something's been done in him, inside of him, now there's something that he's going to do. So that, answer that question. Since you've been a believer, what has been done by you? Do you got a story like this? Maybe not a guy that got his legs back. That's kind of a crazy story. But maybe you delivering the message. What has been done? Something that said, I would have never done this before in my life. And now that I'm a Christian, so not just what's been done in you, now can you answer that question like, man, here's what I've done. And don't think you're being arrogant. You're actually increasing our faith. It should be a byproduct of you getting sick. Go. You got just a short amount of time. We're running out of time here. So what's been done by you? Thirty seconds. All right, guys, man, I'm sorry. You have to meet this week over dinner and meet in some people's houses and continue the discussion. Everybody, we need to get back after it here. We're running out of time. They're examining Peter and John for the good deeds. That's what he said in verse 9. We've been examined of the good deeds done to this impotent man, but what means he is made whole? What's behind this? What is behind this? And of course, you see next, you know what Peter does? Well, he did what he did in chapter 3. His own examination became a platform. There was an audience and he began to give the message that Jesus Christ, look at verse 10, be it known unto all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Oh, that's a hard one. You crucified, you religious leaders, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter is using this major obstacle, like, hey, we're in a pinch here. How do we get out? He was not interested in getting out. It was the platform that he was able to execute the message from. This was a great opportunity for him. Remember, so many obstacles in our life that we want to cry tears about and complain about. God is doing nothing but setting us up and giving us a platform for us to share a message that people need to hear. My gosh, Lord, help us to get this. Notice it says in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Jesus had obviously done something miraculous in these guys because now they were doing miraculous things with their lives. They knew. Notice, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That always comes with the boldness, right? They got this testimony. Notice their testimony was they were unlearned and ignorant men. Hey guys, I hope this encourages you. And by the way, I got clear to the end of this chapter. It's obviously not going to get done. So I will end right here. I'm going to end on this little point right here. I just want you to know that Peter and John, you know what made them special? Jesus. They were not special men. It becomes their testimony was they were unlearned. They were ignorant. They were unskilled. They're being examined by religious leaders. Professional religious people are examining them and saying, these are unlearned and ignorant men. We perceive this. Like, they were almost like, these guys are illiterate. Yet they're filled with something and a boldness is coming through. Guys, we're taught today. I just want to encourage you. Some people, what we want to do is gain some skills, like to be some professional Christian, you know. And so here's the deal. So many people in the Christian world, they're skilled, but not filled. That's what's beautiful about being unlearned and ignorant. I don't come from much. You're a perfect candidate. That's it. No, you don't understand, though. Like, dude, I don't even have any education. What does that have to do with it? You know Jesus. That's what people need. That's it. So I'm just encourage it. Take the filling over the skilling. I need to learn more. People say that stuff all the time. I need to do this. I need to get better at that. I'd like to do this. People just say, you know, you know what I need to do? I need to go get my professional counseling degree because people are struggling with mental health today. So as a pastor, that would really make me, if I had the skilled knowledge and maybe the degree, then I could be a counselor. I've been with Jesus. I know what he says. And you know what I do all the time? Counseling. But I never counsel from the standpoint of, listen, and I would like you guys to start calling me Dr. Blake. That'd make me feel better. Like, man, this guy is so skilled. This is Dr. Blake. I'd rather people say, that's Mikey. And he's filled with everything God has offered. He's going to take you to the healer. The real doctor is found in this book. He's the one that's bringing the healing. Not him. Do you see that? Take the filling. And so many other people, I've noticed this. When we want like the skilled part, we end up trying to fill ourselves with things of the, really of the, what the world offers. And it makes us lose our hunger for righteousness. We lose a hunger for Him. Do you see that? Never lose the hunger. Never lose it. That's what people do. Just want to encourage you with that, because you want filled with all the wrong things, like to be healthy. No, no, no. The real hunger for Him. Hunger, walk with Jesus. The answers are there. He'll fill you. He'll get you through that. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, I really needed to talk to a professional. The problem is, guys, there's nothing wrong with talking to a professional. I don't know what your situation is. But if you want to go to a professional, you could skip the professional and go to the Creator. The one that made the human body, the human mind, the human heart. You could go to Him and see what He says. But I'm telling you, when people sit with professionals, I'm telling you, a lot of times they lose the desire and hunger for the one that created it all. Don't get those backwards. That's what we really need, is this hunger. I just want to encourage you. Their testimonies, these are unlearned and ignorant men. Yeah, I'm nothing. Hey, dude, I got news for you. These unlearned and ignorant men, outside of this room right here, there's 5,000 people that believe their message. There's a dude there, he's standing. They've always known him as a cripple. Like, these people are freaked out. And let me tell you right now, may the world freak out about you. May you cause a ruckus, man. That's what we need to do as a church. But just common people, don't think you have to get to a certain spot to be that. No, these guys, unlearned and ignorant men, and all of a sudden the guy they healed standing right next to him. This just always just blows me away. Super, super encouraged by it. Hey, listen, I'll get the rest of this message out another day, another time. We're coming back tonight. I'm going to hit on some of the principles here, but I'm not going to be, this ain't my message for tonight. But tonight's a vision night. You know what vision is? It's just sight. You know, some people say just like, man, God's given me a vision. Well, yeah, He's given us a book. And we're going to, what's it say? That's what we're going to execute. So come tonight. And I do want you to see that. And there will be an opportunity. I do want you to see. We always do look at the money and say, here's how much money we pulled in. Here's where we're at financially. Here's where we're planning on going. You know, and if you give to this church, you know how that goes. You can ask anything you want to, you know. And especially if you're a contributor, this is our money. By the way, being a non-for-profit, you have to have an open mind, you know, for that type of stuff, or you can get in some deep trouble. So that'll be tonight too. But the main thing is, it's not about money. It just takes money to get things done. We know that, right? It just takes money. But it's not about money. I hope I never stand up here and beat the church with money. You know, the few times I've been in a passage or something, I've felt heat for it. I got news for you. I'm going to call people to more. I'm not going to take that as heat anymore. The people that usually say something about, you know who the people usually are? They're not givers. That's usually it. So yeah, I'm going to call you to more. For sure. And it's okay with that. So, hey guys, I pray the message this morning, I hope it gets you riled up a little bit. One, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to meet Him. He came and gave His life for you and me, took our sin. This all starts with the relationship with Him. We're not talking about just empty religion here. I want you to meet Him and know Him. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to grow. He's got to do this work in you. And once He's done that, and then you're going to grow and you're going to be all of this. And you got a message to give to the world. You're going to live with a real purpose. So if you need Jesus today, please don't leave the building without saying, dude, I need saved. Who am I fooling? And you're going to be called to something much more greater. And then this, those of you, just remember the points today. Let's live so other people can walk. You know? It's the guys that go out, the search and rescue team. We go out so others may live. That's what they do. That's what we do as a church. Let's get back to that, right? And so remember, the miracles, the miraculous, or even the obstacles, they become an opportunity or a platform. So when people marvel at something, there's where you plug in the message. When people are going, what? I don't understand how God can, even if it's this. Hey, I thought you were a Christian. Well, I am. Yeah, but what about this? And they point to something in your life that even could be negative. You know what that is? That's an obstacle. And now you have an opportunity to say, hey, I might be wrong here. Or this might not be my decision. This just happened, and yes, it happens to people like me too, even being a Christian. But Jesus is perfect, man. He's faithful. See that? It's an obstacle, but it just becomes this opportunity to preach, right? And so, just remember all those little points throughout this whole thing. Just, I forget them now. So, just, we're called to more. 2024, we're called to more. Jesus, thank you for your word. I pray it fired your people up today. God, I pray there's a group of teachers next door that they're fired up. That there's a group of kids that want to come to church here, that they're learning about you and they're attracted and drawn to you. God, I pray we leave this building knowing that we are going to be looked at and examined. And God, I just pray there is enough evidence that people would know that we are a people that know you and we are a people that's filled with you. And our message is transformation. Our message, Jesus, is you. It's simply you. We love you. Praise your holy name. Amen. Amen.